Let's be honest. Taking over a messy project feels like an impossible task, right? Would you even know where to start? Or matter of fact, when is it going to end? And do you have what it takes to build trust with a fractured project team, a fractured stakeholder team, and still deliver results under pressure? But what if, just a what if, I'm just guessing here, your leadership can turn, ooh, I like this family, chaos into order. Let me share a short story with you, family. You know, one of the things that when you sign up for this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you don't get to hear, unless you're listening to it now, but or through the different episodes, but you don't get an opportunity to understand what happens when you get that messy project. You don't understand when you get that project where either the project manager has left on his own accord or on her own accord, or they decided to hand that off to you because maybe that other project manager, they needed them on something else. So now you have this project, you have these artifacts, if there's artifacts, you have a team that is looking at you to say, what are we going to do now? You see, that's where I was, family. I'll never forget it. I will recall it just for you for this one moment. This is where I was at. I was thinking to myself, why did I even sign up to be a project manager? Because this project was beyond messy. It was one of those projects where you don't even wish on your enemy. Maybe you do. I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make here, family, is that this project didn't have the artifacts, you know, project schedule, you know, communication management plan, you know, stakeholder register. I was literally starting from ground zero with the expectation that will be done in a certain amount of time, which is, we know that's what a project has, a beginning and end date, but we were closer to the end date than we were the beginning date. And I had to realize, I had to get my thoughts together. I had to get out of the victim mode and say, this is where we're at. This is what we have. What are you going to do? And I'm going to walk you through some of the things that I did and some of the things that, looking back, I wish I would have done. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. Point number one, assess the current state. You know, a lot of times, especially my ambitious project managers, what ends up happening is they want to just jump right in and try to figure out everything and solve everything and move, 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 move. And yet they didn't take the time. This is me. Maybe I'm putting my dirty laundry out there for the world to see, because of the fact that I'm not telling you something that I heard. This is something that I lived, I ate, I breathed, because of the fact of I really appreciate this craft called project management. And I'm hoping this will help you. And so one of the things that I learned from was, don't jump right in and try to take over everything. First step is understanding the current state. We need to assess the current state. So right away, what I did was schedule a media deep dive into the project status. What I needed to understand is, where are artifacts stored? What artifacts do we have? What are the expected, the estimated timeline? And what are the issues, risk, people risk, material, all of the, I'm looking at everything before I talk to anybody. Because first I need to understand what I am. I want to create a narrative by myself before I start talking to the project team or start talking with stakeholders. Because they're going to tell me things that are going to be important, matter of fact, imperative. However, I need to come in there somewhat prepared to see what I seen based on the documentation. Now, if there's no documentation and all it is a schedule, then we work from that, but we work from what we have. Here's my actionable tip. Conduct a gap analysis to understand where the project stands versus where it needs to be. This is key, family. If you message, anytime I say message, this is something you want to pay attention to. This, if you're driving, when you get to your destination, please come back to this original point, because it's important, family, to understand first, where does the project stand? And then we move to, where is it going? and where it needs to be. But don't jump in automatically and say, where does this need to be? No, no, no. Where are we at? You know, so my first point is do a gap analysis to understand where the project stands versus where it needs to be. Highlight areas that need urgent attention and share this assessment with your project team as well as your key stakeholders. Point number two, rebuild trust with the teams. Let's be honest, family. The team dynamics has probably took a strain from this troubled project. So now we need to take time as the project manager to understand each project team member's concerns and most of all, their frustrations. Because if we don't address the concerns and frustration, all of that is going to roll over into how we're now pivoting to lead the project. So when we take this initiative on, my actionable tip is hold a one-on-one meeting with every project team member. Now, if you have a big project team, then I would say isolate it in a way. Let's say, for instance, you know, in cross-functional teams, let's say I got application here, I got infrastructure, I got networking. Instead of meeting with everyone individual, I may just say, okay, IT, HR, and just do it that way. But most of the time, I mean, the biggest team that I've ever led, probably anywhere from 50 to 100, I think that's right. But don't quote me on that. But it was a lot of people. And what I understood was meeting with them one-on-one was more powerful than meeting with them in a group. Because in a group setting, I really wouldn't be able to get all the information that I need, because there may be someone who is more of the talker or more of the person that is taking the leadership approach or leading this team. So meeting with everyone one-on-one, they could be transparent, they could be honest, because there may be somebody on their own team and they don't want to talk about it. But I need to develop that trust with them. So rebuild that trust with your team. Point number three, establish a clear communication protocol. This is another one of the most important points. Without communication, it doesn't matter what you do. You need to communicate with your team. You need to understand what can or what has, or first you need to understand what has derailed the progress. And then once you understand what has derailed the progress, then we need to understand what can derail it from going forward. So we want to set up a structured communication practice that everyone follows. Here's my actionable tip. I would implement daily stand-ups. I would do a weekly status meeting. And I will share my communications on channels like Asana, Slack, Teams, whatever you guys use as a communication channel, that's like an instant messenger, I would leverage that right away. And the stand-ups is really, and it's probably gonna stress people out, like, oh, we gotta be at a meeting again. But how you add value to this meeting is that you make it 15 minutes or less. And then you go around the room and say, hey, what issues are you guys having? And you talk to everybody on that stand-up. And the ones that are having the issues or we have impediment, we have a separate meeting with those individuals or that group. We don't take up the team's time, because what happens a lot of times is that even though it's a good strategy to solve a problem with the team, when you're doing daily stand-ups, sometimes that can get exhausting with the team if you're trying to solve in that stand-up with only 10 or 15 minutes. So I recommend that taking that, whatever that impediment or issue is, outside of the meeting, and then you guys have a meeting to talk through it. And during a weekly status meeting, you can even take that impediment. Let's say our weekly status meetings were on Wednesday, but on Tuesday we identified this impediment. We need to understand, is this impediment an urgency? Or is this something that we have time to resolve? If this is an urgency, this is like drop everything and do now, then we need to take care of it now. But if we have time, then we'll leverage the weekly status meeting to actually solve that particular issue. Point number four, review vendor contracts and SLA, service level agreements. The reason why we want to understand and do this, family, is vendors can cause bottlenecks if service agreements are not out there. Trust me, I've worked with vendors. And, you know, and I'm going to be honest, it wasn't their fault. It was actually the business fault, where we were supposed to deliver A and then they were supposed to bring us B. Let me rephrase that. We were supposed to provide information in order for them to do what they need to do next. And when you start doing that, vendors are human. They will get frustrated. Yeah, we'll honor the contract, But we're not going to go outside or above, and we're not going to remind you and say, hey, you know, we've already sent you 3 emails and we had calls and you said you're going to provide the information that we needed and you still haven't done it. Why should I really, even though it's contractual, I'll honor the agreement, but I won't go above or beyond that. So we want to make sure we review all vendor contracts to understand any obligations that we have. We need to unpack those obligations and document it so we can make sure the team is up to par to understand, hey, these are the obligations we have contractually, and we need to make sure we're holding ourselves accountable. Here's my actionable tip. Schedule individual meeting with each vendor to discuss their commitments, their delivery timelines, and any existing challenges. Basically, what we're doing here, family, is we're resetting the communication between the vendor and the project team. We're also resetting the commitment between the vendor and the project team. Point number 5, create a revised project schedule. Again, create a revised project schedule. See, we need to develop a realistic and achievable project schedule that addresses the current challenges and sets clear deadlines. My actionable tip, I would recommend using software like MS Project, Asana, Monday.com. There's smart sheets. There's plenty of them out there. Except you can use a basic Excel if your organization doesn't offer any of those I mentioned, Microsoft Project, Asana, Monday.com, smart sheet. Reason why I say that is because we need to put some type of schedule together to see who owns what and what our timelines look like. And we need to make it visible to the entire team. Point number 6, address critical risk proactively. Identify and document all known risks that may impact the project, especially, and I do mean especially, with vendor management and team dynamics. Here's my actionable tip. Assign risk owners and establish mitigation plans. Hold regular risk review meetings to ensure proactive management. What I always recommend, family, is especially during your weekly meetings, that should be one of the first topics that we discuss is, hey, let's look at our risk register and see what's going on here. Point number 7, manage stakeholder expectation. That is going to be key. As you know, I always say frustration comes from either the lack of or the way expectations were communicated that creates the frustration. So we need to align stakeholders with the revised project schedule, the revised project plan, and we need to set realistic expectations about what can and cannot be delivered. And we need to be transparent. We don't need to act like we can do more than what we can. Right now, we need to deliver something and we need to be transparent about our delivery. Here's my actionable tip. Provide regular updates in a consistent format, whether it be executive summaries, project dashboards, but the whole key here is being transparent about the challenges. Point number 8, tackle the root causes of issues. Again, tackle the root causes of issues. You didn't hear me say tackle the surface layer. Root causes. See, addressing the surface level problems, they won't fix the project. I'm just going to be honest with you. So it's better for us to do a deeper investigation to understand and identify so we can resolve the root causes. Here's my actionable tip. We can use a technique called the 5 whys. It's basically asking why 5 times till you can get to the root of the issue. So in this way, it helps us understand, is this a reoccurring problem? Or is this something that it just happened? Like we need to understand it. Once we understand it, we need to implement a long-term solution. I have 2 bonuses for you today, family, and then I'll give you my transformational remarks. Establish an escalation path. So we have to define how and when to escalate issues to upper management. It's important for us to have an escalation path. So it really makes the team feel comfortable as well, because they know, hey, if this is not getting resolved with us in the team, we need to escalate this, and we need a commitment from who's ever in our escalation path that they're going to step in and step up to help us beat whatever the issue that has surfaced. Here's my actionable tip. Document the escalation process and ensure all team members and vendors understand how to use it appropriately. Here's my last and final bonus, family. When you are taking over a messy project, you want to stay agile and flexible. The ability to be open to change is going to be key here, because especially as a project manager, you really don't know what you're walking into. And you won't know until you start engaging with the team, project team, engaging with stakeholders, you know, making sure the project schedule is up to date. But the whole thing is just, I want to recommend let go of control. Don't try, just maintain an open mindset to be flexible, maintain an open mindset to keep an agile mindset, because it's going to be key. Here's my actionable tip. Regularly review the project schedule and adjust as needed while keeping stakeholders informed of any deviation. I have four transformational remarks, family, and I'll make these quick but straight to the point. Point number one, the most important point of them all, is establish a clear communication protocol, whether we're doing daily stand-ups, weekly status meeting, and making sure we have a clear path for communications, whether we're leveraging communication channel like Slack, Asana, those type of platforms, or even Teams. My next point, manage stakeholder expectations. We need to set a realistic expectations with our stakeholders, because they had it under the impression that they were expecting to get whatever the service, product, or result it was by a certain timeline. We need to reset and reestablish what those timelines are going to look like now. Point number three, tackle the root causes of issues. As I always talk about, we're never going to resolve anything if we keep doing surface level problem fixing instead of investigating and getting to the deeper root of what is actually going on. And then my last and final point, we must rebuild the team's trust in us as well as in the project, or I should say. And so with that being the case, we want to hold one-on-one meetings so we can build that rapport and let them know that we have their actual back moving forward. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, you know, because in your career, you're going to encounter what we deemed as a messy project, a project that, you know, normally would have all the artifacts, that would have a supporting project team, that would have a supporting stakeholder team. But you may walk in and you don't have any of those things. And how you respond in that first week, matter of fact, those first 2 days is going to be important. Is going to set the tone, not only just for the project, but it's also going to set the tone for the team as well. I go by the name ED for all you smart and intelligent folks out there. Listen, that just simply means, and until next time,